Sounds good. So I'm going to move on. You can just leave the mic on for Q&A. So the other thing that we were going to talk about is we've done some examination of anonymous access in SMB post Windows 7, and just trying to understand like historically where it's been and where we see it sort of from our implementation side, where we can move it forward as we continue to try and lock down the product from a security perspective. To start off with, I just wanted to talk through, there's a lot of, I assume most of you are familiar, but I want to make sure that we're not confusing the concept of a guest user from an anonymous user. So guest user actually is what a lot of people use for simple file sharing scenarios, where basically you have an account that's tagged as a guest, it has no password, and if authentication arrives and the username doesn't match any username local to the box, it'll sort of fall back to guest access, and then you ACL file shares or whatever using guest. The big thing is that guest on most of my discussion here is primarily from a Windows implementation side of things, just to clarify it as well. Guest requires explicit enablement. So the admin actually makes a choice to say, I want to allow guest access to my server. The biggest case of using this historically in the product was the Windows XP simple file sharing mode, where basically it said, wouldn't it be easy if you didn't have to worry about users and you could just have one big global switch that says, everyone who accesses my machine will always come in as guest, and then I can just ACL as guest what people might want to access. In default configurations and moving beyond Windows XP into Vista, the guest account remains disabled unless users are explicitly going in and turning it on. Anonymous, or it's also the null session or the null user, there's tons of name for it, is a different beast altogether. And this is actually authentication done with no username and no password. It's enabled by default across all configurations that we've shipped in the past. A user could actually be talking to a server and not realize that they authenticated as guest. That's not really true about anonymous for the most part. This is the user is actually saying, I want to authenticate as anonymous. They're providing an empty username and an empty password. The one case where that's not true, and the thing that sort of catches why anonymous has been used as in the past, is that the machine account on a Windows system, like if you're running as local system and you're authenticating to a remote host, and you're not using Kerberos, you're using NTLM, that will automatically fall down to using anonymous access. And this is sort of the primary source for where, like, expected anonymous session usage, as I would say, and why it's sort of people have had trouble locking it down in the past. And most of the usage here is associated with RPC calls. These are people doing either username mapping or the browser protocol and some of the other stuff we talked through, where they just want to get information from the other machine in sort of a cross-server way, but they're not actually trying to access files. And anonymous has been locked down in various staging as releases sort of move forward. And we can sort of walk through what some of those ways are. There's an interesting, if not confusing, setting which was called Restrict Anonymous that has gone through several iterations. The default, obviously, if it's set to 0, is that there's no restrictions. And then setting it to 1 was a way that eventually people realized that you shouldn't be able to do enumeration of username accounts as an anonymous user, because that's a big attack service. So you could set it to 1, and that would actually disable those SAM-style APIs. And there's other RPC calls that are related, like that could also, the authority to call those APIs would be affected based on this setting. And then the other bigger hammer came in saying, well, we should allow you to set it to 2, which removes anonymous from the everyone group. So that means if you have files or whatever and you've ACLed them for everyone, before this setting came into thing, everyone included anonymous. So anonymous users would have access if they could somehow get to it. These two were later split out into two separate settings. I looked at my desktop this morning, and technically restrict anonymous to 0, but there's one called restrict anonymous SAM, which is set to 1, which basically disables the anonymous enumeration. And then there's also a setting called everyone includes anonymous, which defaults to 0, which means anonymous is no longer part of everyone. So with these two settings set, at this point, anonymous would be able to connect and authenticate over SMB. If it wasn't for the other two settings, you might be able to open various shares or pipes, but they would actually have to be ACLed explicitly to allow anonymous, because anonymous is no longer part of everyone. There's two further settings, one of which is the null session shares key. And this is another failsafe that says, even if the ACL on the share allows it, I'm not going to allow anonymous to access a share unless it's explicitly placed in this list. And this defaults to empty on Windows Server installs. And there's a second setting, which is the null session pipes, which says, here's the list of pipes, which regardless of ACL, these are the only pipes that Anonymous could access. And that list has been trimmed over time as well. So originally it used to contain like the net logon and the surf service and the browser pipes. But as Windows releases have moved forward, the actual setting for here has been trimmed down as we've determined that certain services don't actually need Anonymous and they just present sort of an attack surface. And for a Windows 7 clean install now, this list is actually empty. And we will actually, if you upgrade towards releases, we'll go back and we'll remove the entries that were installed by default on the previous release that we no longer consider required for this release. So we've been actively trimming this thing down. Yes?
Just to make sure I understand this, the null session shares and null session pipes sound like they are technically redundant with the ACLs provided on shares. Is that true?
Yeah, the question is, are null session shares and null session pipes basically redundant with respect to the ACLs? I think the way we would probably phrase it is it's sort of a defense-in-depth approach, which is if people don't understand when they set an ACL, or specifically with shares, you can create a share with no ACL, and that actually implies anyone has access. And we've been trying to modify the APIs, or at least the admin tools, so that it's difficult to do that. But if someone has an old code that just calls net share or net share add with a level 2, where the level doesn't support creating an ACL, then it would just get created empty, and at that point, Anonymous is allowed through. Now, we're still defended because Anonymous isn't part of everyone, so the pipe or the file would have to be ACLed explicitly to allow Anonymous. But this is sort of another layer that just says, hey, unless someone's being very intentional about letting Anonymous or Null in, we're not going to let them through the front door. But yeah, it is pretty much true. So there's like 2 or 3 fail safes that you have to fall through. The other one that arrived in Vista was the integrity mechanism, which I'm not sure how familiar people are, where basically along with your user identity and the access that's granted to you, a user can essentially run at an integrity level where you're either low, medium, or high, and an object as well can be, the ACL can have a mandatory label saying, hey, you have to be medium or better to access this file. So Anonymous explicitly, I left a link here, integrity is sort of a bigger beast, I'm not going to dive into it, but Anonymous always runs at low integrity. So now even if you have files or pipes that were previously ACLed to allow Anonymous, you'd have to go back and put on a low integrity label, otherwise you're actually going to fail the access based on integrity, not based on the security descriptors. So if we look at all this, and then essentially we realized if you look at a Windows 7 server, there's nothing Anonymous can, or there's very little Anonymous can actually do. You can connect to the IPC $share, but there's no pipes you can actually open. There's no files you can open. And especially for SMB2, there's really no exceptions that say, you know, here's some stuff that Anonymous can legitimately do over SMB2. There's a few exceptions for SMB1, which I wanted to call out, one of which is pre-Vista Windows clients will actually use Anonymous to query DFS referrals. And this is actually a side effect of what we said on an earlier slide, where the DFS service is essentially running as network service or whatever. So when he authenticates as the machine account, if Kerberos isn't available, he'll silently fall back to Anonymous, and that's how they would retrieve it. And likewise, Browser is another service that runs in the network service account. So he's authenticating as the machine account. When they're doing retrieval of the browser server lists in like unmanaged or workgroup scenarios, they're authenticating as an Anonymous user. The only other case besides these two where Anonymous would get used on a default system is if someone is explicitly asking to use null creds. But this case we don't actually have to worry about because we just outlined that there's nothing on a default system that this user can actually do aside from connect to the IPC $share. So as we look forward, we're already locked down in terms of what the user can access, but what we're trying to understand is how much of our code, including our validation code, like this levels of defense, can an attacker who's using the fact that Anonymous is still available for authentication actually drive into? And right now, you know, we have to process the receive. We'll do generic validation of the receive request, and then we might fall into request-specific validation, and it's right about here that we would realize, okay, this is a session. The session is an Anonymous user. He's accessing a share. The share isn't in the null session pipes list. And based on that, you know, we can fail the request, and then we'll actually send you a nice response. So it's obviously a subset of the overall server code, but in general, it's still a not insignificant attack surface, where if there's errors in the validation routines or in our response generation or something like that, you could actually start probing these as an Anonymous user. So looking forward, we were just trying to understand if we wanted to lock down Windows further, how we could actually do this. And one of the proposals we've been talking about is, what if we simply started failing session setup for an anonymous user? So in this stage, essentially, when anonymous went to authenticate, we would realize they're authenticating as anonymous, and you fail the session setup with access denied. The reason that we are thinking about this access code is, this is the same error an application would see if I allowed session setup to complete, and then they tried to open a pipe, and we realized, hey, the pipe isn't anonymously accessible, we'd return access denied. So assuming the redirector isn't doing error code mapping in between, the application-level behavior trying to access a post-Win7 box would actually match a Win7 box, but we're failing much earlier in the process. We're failing at the session setup. And then for the connection itself, once we see the first non-anonymous successful session setup, we could actually mark the session setup itself as authenticated, indicating that this is being used by someone who has valid credentials to access the machine. And that means, like with SMB2, since pretty much every operation requires a session ID, if you ever try and use an operation that is not a negotiator session setup and your connection hasn't been marked as authenticated, we wouldn't even have to respond to you, because that's a protocol violation anyway, because we know session setups never succeeded, and we know that every request requires a session setup, so we can just bounce you right off the bat. So essentially, we can take this pipeline and say, yeah, we'll receive you, we'll do a top-level look just to say, hey, is the connection authenticated? And if so, or if not, is this a negotiator session setup? And for most requests, we can actually just cut out the rest of our logic. Just say, hey, you're doing something unexpected, we don't want to talk to you, you're gone. So that's nice, but we actually need this to sort of work in the real world. So there's a few compatibility concerns that still sort of exist. And there's the ones that we know about, and then the other interesting topic for today, I think, while we're all here, is trying to understand what are the ones that we don't know about as we look towards other client implementations and other applications that run across SMB. So for a default server which isn't acting as either a browser master or DFS, basically we could take the behavior outlined across both SMB1 and SMB2, where you only allow negotiate and session setup. If we detect that you are a DFS server and we want to allow SMB1 legacy retrieval of referrals, then there's a limited stream of requests that sort of get you to that point that we know are legitimate for an anonymous user. So we would actually carve open this path saying, okay, based on my configuration, you can execute these things, but if you step outside these bounds, you know, we're going to fail you. For browser, regrettably, we have a similar issue, because the wrap calls and unmanaged work groups like, you know, home environments and stuff are still going to be using anonymous to try and query server lists. So until browser goes away, we might actually have to allow through the wrap calls. And then the last one is, since we know now on our server that a user has to explicitly configure either the null session share or the null session pipes list to allow anonymous access, if we determine that the user wants anonymous access, we can simply just turn off this optimization whenever either of these values are set. So we just act exactly like we would in Win7 right now. So, but this is sort of the big unknown for us as well. And part of talking about this today is also just to start a discussion to say, if we take this change, what out there are we going to break in the overall ecosystem? How do other people do DFS referrals? Do you guys still use anonymous sessions on SMB2 for something that we are not aware of? So in general, I just want to sort of outline some of our thinking as we look forward and open it up for discussion either here or privately over lunch and stuff like that, if you guys have anything you want to talk about. So that's actually all. I can answer any questions on the anonymous guest stuff if we want, or else we're also here just to answer any general SMB or SMB2 questions. And we'll also probably, we should be here all through lunch or whatever today if you guys just want to find us privately to talk about more specific issues. So, yes.
I'm curious whether you have any, without revealing things that are sensitive security-wise, whether you have some data you can relate about which kinds of information have been problematic in the way of attacks. I'm curious about the motivation behind hiding some of these. What attacks are you preventing? Because some of the things are actually pretty useful, things like what's the list of the machines for the browser, and in my case, we'd like to easily be able to get the list of shares. I don't consider that to be highly sensitive normally.
So the share list on the Windows servers with the restrict anonymous and SAM, I'd actually have to look at it. What we know is that since we currently denied the serve-service pipe. So serve-service pipe isn't available anonymously. If you're using the MSRPC version of NetShare Enum, it's going to fail because it'll fail to open the pipe. So really the thinking that's driving this is that the system is already locked down. We're, especially for SMB2, we can't see any legitimate thing that you can do as anonymous. So it's all about attack surface reduction. It's about understanding, like, yeah, how can we basically just close people off at the doorway instead of allowing them to poke through to different portions of the code. So I don't have any histograms about, like, attack histories that we've experienced across the protocol or stuff that we have here to share, but yeah.
Because there's always a balance between convenience.
Yes, definitely.
Versus, you know, not being able to get the share list, for example, like, it's inconvenient.
So, yes. And so the comment was from the client position there, they stopped doing share retrieval as anonymous, and up to now you haven't had any complaints. And I think it's interesting even from our side, in that from a perspective, what's the benefit of giving someone the list of shares if they're not going to have the authority to access those shares once they know about them? So it just sort of offers information disclosure that, you know, if they have the authority to access it, can't we use those credentials to actually retrieve the list of shares in the beginning? So. But again, this—I don't know from, like, you know, headless services and stuff like that, how that might dribble down and affect those, and that's what we're sort of interested in. Yeah, James. Oh, I see. So you would actually trim the list of shares based on the authority of the user coming in. So if you, okay. So they'll actually do access-based trimming on shares, which actually sort of reinforces the idea of you should query the share list as the user who is trying to access the server resource. So, cool. Yes?
Point of information. I used to have an SMB server that didn't do anonymous at all. So I had a customer with one of these combination scanner, copier, printer things that can do scan to SMB. For some reason that I never understood, it likes to log on an anonymous SMB session and then do nothing with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Yeah, they're interesting devices, because one of the things, like, if you look through the MS wrap spec, for example, with Windows 7, we've reduced sort of our wrap functionality as part of trying to age out less used portions of the protocol and close down attack surfaces. And we had the same thing with a lot of scanning devices, is that they use, obviously, the legacy methods of querying share information and this and that, and trying to balance out what the things are.
Just a
like an existence check or something. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Sounds good. Well, if you guys have any further questions, we'll be around. And yeah, thanks.